King. Whether you've been learning about Jehovah for just a brief time, or you've been serving Him faithfully for many years, you will appreciate the timely admonition presented in this next talk. We invite you to again give Brother Keacott from Brooklyn Bethel your undivided attention as he speaks on the theme, Are You Living with Jehovah's Day in Mind?
The great day of Jehovah is near. It is near, and there is a hurrying of it very much. This is a part of the warning message found at Zephaniah 1, verse 14. There is no doubt that Jehovah's day is close at hand. The question is, for each one of us, am I keeping Jehovah's day close in mind? If we are, then a sense of urgency will permeate our every decision and action. Why so? Because this world and its ways have lulled the masses into spiritual complacency. But each person's response to the warning about Jehovah's Day will determine the outcome of his life and future. The course of wisdom is to make sure that we are living in accord with God's requirements. How can we do so? Happily, a fine provision has already been made to help us. We have access to it, the complete Word of God. The last 12 books of the Hebrew Scriptures are often called the Minor Prophets, and sometimes they get overlooked. Yet, remember how the Apostle Paul began the book of Hebrews. God, who long ago spoke on many occasions and in many ways to our forefathers by means of the prophets, has at the end of these days spoken to us by means of a son. Yes, before the time of Christ, God used prophets to convey weighty, inspired messages that were certainly not minor in importance. Not only does this portion of God's Word contain judgment messages of prophetic significance for our day, but it also contains proclamations of glorious tidings of deliverance. There are also portrayals of God's loving kindness and mercy, His calls for repentance and obedience to the Word of Jehovah, and urgent appeals to seek righteousness and meekness before there comes upon all people the day of Jehovah's anger. These 12 books clearly set forth God's unchanging principles by which we should live each day. We are exhorted to set our hearts upon our ways, if we desire to be among the righteous ones who will keep living. Truly, there is a rich storehouse of counsel and direction to help us live with Jehovah's Day in mind. In recent years, most of these 12 prophetic books were considered on district convention programs. Their import for God's ancient people and their prophetic aspects hold significant meaning for our time. Not only do these 12 books foretell the future, but each one of them can actually serve to draw us closer to Jehovah and to strengthen our faith in Him as Deliverer. They contain advice on how God's ancient people were to live and how we should live today amidst this present system of things. Yes, what we find in these 12 books can help us to keep close in mind the presence of the day of Jehovah, as we are urged to do at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. We might well ask, what useful advice does Jehovah provide for us in these prophetic books? How can these writings help us to live with Jehovah's great day in mind? What do they say that has meaning when it comes to morality, family life, and attitudes in these critical last days? It'd be good to think about these things now, because as Joel chapter 2, verse 1 says, the day of Jehovah is coming, for it is near. Moreover, our convention theme stresses that our deliverance is at hand. Please open your Bibles to this section, which begins with the book of Hosea. In this discussion, we are not going to focus on the figurative or symbolic meanings in these books, nor will we do a verse-by-verse analysis. Instead, we will look at specific points and reflect on this question. What divine counsel and direction are provided that would be applicable to me and my family in view of the nearness of Jehovah's day? Since justice is prominent in the writings of the 12 prophets, let's first consider this attribute of Jehovah and how we can imitate him in expressing it. Amos chapter 5, 24 aptly illustrates the point. Let's turn there. Amos 5, 24. Let justice roll forth just like waters, and righteousness like a constantly flowing torrent. Tied in with this is a verse that we often read, Micah 6, 8. Turn over just a few pages. Micah 6, 8, it says, what is Jehovah asking back from you? But to exercise justice, and to love kindness, and to be modest in walking with your God. How can we fulfill our obligations to exercise justice in our dealings with people, both inside and outside the Christian congregation? One way is brought to our attention at Malachi 3, verse 5. Malachi 3, verse 5, which says, I will become a speedy witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against those swearing falsely and against those acting fraudulently with the wages of a wage worker. What occurred in the workplace in Malachi's day was not merely a lesson on human morality. Jehovah took note of what was being done because justice was lacking. In response to the treachery of those acting fraudulently with the wages of a wage worker, God promised to come near to those people for judgment. Do you see in this situation any possible meaning for us? Let's say one owns a business and has employees. Or suppose that he just hires someone to do a job. How do the wages paid or the directions and business dealings measure up in the light of Malachi 3, verse 5? That verse is relevant today, isn't it? Micah chapter 6 contains a related example. Note the question. Micah 6, verses 10 and 11, the question raised here. Do there yet exist in the house of a wicked one the treasures of wickedness and the scrimped ephah measure that is denounced? Can I be morally clean with wicked skills and with a bag of deceptive stone weights? How clear. Many merchants back then were cheats, treating the people unjustly. We do well to ask. Might Micah's words have a bearing on how I run a business or even how I work as an employee? We all know that customers and clients get defrauded in many ways. Some unscrupulous contractors put less than the required amount of cement in a mix. Or a builder may use inferior materials in places that he knows will be hidden. Some merchants pass off as new what are actually second-hand goods. And there are many other devious means to increase profits. But another question to ask is, am I tempted to try these tricks? Or will Jehovah's view of justice serve as my guide? Remember, Jehovah's Day close in mind, keeping Jehovah's Day close in mind requires that we do our utmost to be found by Him spotless and unblemished. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 3 provides us with an example of even prominent ones who failed to exercise justice. Let's read that. Zephaniah 3, verse 3. Her princes in the midst of her were roaring lions. Her judges were evening wolves that did not gnaw bones till the morning. Can you picture the leaders of God's people being like wild lions, like ravenous wolves that devoured everything so that only bones were left? Those leaders disregarded righteousness. They ripped justice to shreds. What a contrast to loving Christian elders today who are genuinely concerned for the flock. In following God's direction, they serve as caring shepherds rather than ferocious wolves that instill fear. In handling cases of wrongdoing, they give justice a place in the gate, as Amos chapter 5 and verse 15 counsels. Please note that the messages in these books were not all denunciations of a people who failed to measure up to God's standards. When Jehovah examined His people, He at times determined that they were meeting His standards. What an encouraging thought. The fact that they could do so shows that Jehovah's standards are reasonable. Yes, we can live up to them. And when we do, our relationship with Jehovah is strengthened. In this regard, Hosea concludes his prophetic book with the questions recorded at Hosea chapter 14, verse 9. Hosea 14, 9. Who is wise that he may understand these things? Discreet that he may know them? For the ways of Jehovah are upright, and the righteous are the ones who will walk in them. The wise ones in Israel understood that Jehovah outlined upright ways and standards for His people. And as dedicated servants of God, we too desire to walk in Jehovah's ways and draw ever closer to Him. Amos chapter 5, 15 contains counsel that will help us to live in harmony with Jehovah's upright ways. There we are urged. Amos 5:15. Hate what is bad and love what is good. Love and hate are strong emotions that emanate from the figurative heart. And since the heart is treacherous, we must do everything within our power to safeguard it. If we allow our heart to nurture wrong desires, we may find ourselves loving what is bad and hating what is good. Realistically, how can we apply this? Well, imagine a brother who is aware of the dangers of pornography and wants to avoid viewing it, yet the man he is inside may be drawn to pornographic websites. As he calls to mind and applies the words of Amos 5:15, hate what is bad, he will find strength to conquer his attraction to pornography. Even though the internet did not exist in the days of Hosea and Amos, what those prophets wrote has practical value for us today when internet use is so common. Or think of how Jehovah's ancient people responded to the council in Haggai chapter 1. By 520 BCE, when Jehovah commissioned Haggai to prophesy, 16 years had passed with little work done on the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Enemy opposition had disheartened God's people. Now notice the pointed advice at Haggai 1 verse 5. Set your heart upon your ways. What was the response? According to verse 12, the people began to listen to the voice of Jehovah. Then they received God's assurance, which we read about at the end of verse 13. I am with you people. By heeding God's word, we too can have the firm assurance that Jehovah is with us. Consider another situation. Christian sister works where there is a man who does not share her godly beliefs, but he is kind and attentive to her. He begins showing more interest in our sister. Now what? Will she recognize the danger of allowing her emotions to control her thinking? Will her Bible-trained conscience move her to reject romantic advances that erode good motives? We read at Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Let's look at that. Hosea 4:11. Fornication and wine and sweet wine are what take away good motive. Yes. Our sister's reverential fear of God can move her to uphold God's standard concerning bad association and to say no to any course that could damage her relationship with God. Micah chapter 6 can help to address yet another common issue. Note what is condemned at Micah 6 verse 12. There we read, Micah 6:12. Her own inhabitants have spoken falsehood, and their tongue is tricky in their mouth. These 12 books make it clear that we must be truthful in all our dealings. What if we have said or done something unkind and then been confronted with it? We might feel embarrassed or guilty. That can lead to denying the error or offering a so-called explanation that twists the truth in order to excuse the wrong. Recall what Micah 6:12 said about a tricky tongue? One might be tempted to mention only selected details, editing them to color the facts and give a totally different impression. Although that might not be flagrant lying, is it really speaking truth with our brother? If a Christian were to phrase things in such a way that he inwardly knew would lead brothers to a wrong conclusion, how would his actions make Jehovah feel? How much wiser to apply the fine counsel found in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 16. These are the things that you people should do. Speak truthfully with one another. With truth and the judgment of peace, do your judging. Christian parents should likewise stress to their children by word and example that Jehovah expects all of us to avoid falsehoods. As Jehovah's Day approaches, brutality increases in the world just as violence filled the earth in the pre-flood world. Notice Micah chapter 6 verse 12 shows God's strong disapproval of violence. The first part of the text says there, Micah 6:12, her own rich men have become full of violence. The ancient Assyrians were infamous for their violence. Sadly, that may have rubbed off on God's people in both Judea and Samaria. What about today? Many around us are steeped in violence from youth on. Little boys and girls are enthralled by cartoons that feature violence. One cartoon character tries to smash, blow up, or otherwise destroy another. In time, many youth play video games in which they shoot, explode, or demolish opponents. Those are only games, some say or protest. Still, playing violent games immerses the players in violence. Consider, too, this aspect. The prophet Habakkuk wrote that he was grieved over despoiling and violence in front of him. Each Christian might ask, would Habakkuk be comfortable today looking at TV programs or movies that I regularly watch? Would he use his time to be a spectator at so-called sports events that are intended to be violent? Spectators are often thrilled to see fights among players or between crazed fans. Understanding how Jehovah feels about violence helps us to have the same viewpoint that Habakkuk had. The advice we find in these books of the 12 prophets can also contribute to an honorable marriage and a family life that pleases God. In this wayward world, an insidious spirit is influencing marriage and family life. People show a growing disregard for God's standards. That spirit must not be allowed to infect us. How we live as marriage mates and members of a Christian household is of great concern to Jehovah, the one to whom every family owes its name. Consider, for example, what is said at Malachi 2, verse 16, regarding the deplorable attitude toward marriage that were prevailing in his time. The prophet wrote, Malachi 2, verse 16, in part, he has hated a divorcing, Jehovah the God of Israel has said, and then further on in the verse, and you must guard yourselves respecting your spirit, and you must not deal treacherously. Even though our marriage may not be facing the crisis of a divorce, we do well to keep Jehovah's view in mind. Since no one is perfect, difficulties and disagreements arise in marriage. However, would Christians consider divorce as an easy way out? During a disagreement, would they quickly bring up the possibility of a divorce? Some have. But the inspired counsel at Malachi 2 and verse 16 urges us to put forth every effort to make our marriage succeed. Perhaps the most significant and vital message in these 12 prophetic books is about our current situation and what lies right before us. How long have you been waiting for Jehovah's day to rid the earth of wickedness? How long are you willing to wait patiently for deliverance? In the meantime, what attitude and actions mark your life now? And what adjustments do you need to make? Good questions, these. And the inspired pronouncements of the 12 prophets can really help us find the answers. Many of those prophets lived at a time when judicial intervention from God was impending. The fulfillment of their prophecy strengthens our faith and trust in Jehovah. Just look at a modern map of the Middle East. Can you find Ammon, Assyria, Babylon, Edom, or Moab in existence today? Despite the fact that at one time such nations were prominent, the 12 prophets foretold their downfall. One by one, those nations disappeared. Jehovah said that they would vanish. And they did. What those prophets foretold about a remnant of Jews returning from captivity in Babylon was fulfilled. It happened. How should this affect us? We call three of the profound assurances found in those books. Micah 7, verse 7. Let's look at that, the first one. As for me, it is for Jehovah that I shall keep on the lookout. I will show a waiting attitude for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Are we determined to keep on the lookout and have such an attitude, waiting on Jehovah? Then at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, we read. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. The vision is yet for the appointed time, and it keeps panting on to the end, and it will not tell a lie. And then at the end of the verse, it will not be late. Do all of us have the strong conviction that Jehovah's day will come right on time? Finally, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1 alerts us. Malachi 4:1. Look, the day is coming that is burning like the furnace. And then further on. And all those doing wickedness must become as stubble. Do you agree that these divine pronouncements have tremendous import for us? Can you detect in them the urgent call to live with Jehovah's day in mind? And why is this mindset vital? Because the execution of divine judgment has drawn close. Deliverance is at hand. From what we have considered, you can see that these 12 books contain strong messages, striking prophecies, divine principles, and straightforward counsel. These inspired writings touch on many facets of our way of life and serve as harbingers of the destruction of the present wicked system of things. We may never before have looked at these 12 prophetic books in that way, but we should. For these reasons, we are pleased to announce the release of a timely new book entitled Live with Jehovah's Day in Mind. You are certainly going to delight in what you find in this 192-page book. Here are a few of the 14 chapter titles. Prophets whose messages can affect us. What is Jehovah asking from you? Contribute to family life that pleases God and a blessing until there is no more want. As you read your copy of this new book, focus attention on how the material in these 12 Bible books applies in your daily life. We feel confident that this new book will increase both your happiness and that of your family. You now have opportunity to address life's issues in the light of verses to which you may have given only limited consideration in the past. Unquestionably, this new book will enable all of us to carry out what its title urges us to do. Live with Jehovah's day in mind. May that be your blessed and happy portion now when deliverance is so very near at hand.
What an exciting conclusion to this second day of our district convention. Thank you for that incisive discourse and for the good news about the new book. Arrangements have been made for each one present to receive one or two copies of the book right after the concluding prayer. We look forward to reading and applying the information in this powerful Bible study aid. You will be pleased to know that beginning September 1st, 2006, the book Live with Jehovah's Day in Mind will be available in Grade 2 English and Grade 1 Spanish Braille. What a delightful day of theocratic education this has been. How wonderfully Jehovah delivers his servants both now and in the days ahead. Let's give our voice to our determination to serve him to the best of our ability as all 5,857 in attendance